Well, many will come to order. Representative Dodo, Dodi.
Madam Chair, I would move the minutes from March 8th, 2010.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes approved. Representative Newton. Representative Newton. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm here today with Command Sergeant Major Scott Mills and Colonel Eric Allness to present a bill on folding the Minnesota flag. As many of you know, I also am a retired Command Sergeant Major, and two things we take care of as Sergeants Major are our troops and our colors. It's very important that we know how to handle the flags and deal with them. So this bill is just very simple, and it explains as to how we're going to fold the flag. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I'll turn over to Command Sergeant Major Mills.
Good morning, Madam Chair, or good afternoon, I should say. Just a little background on this. I feel, as the keeper custodian of the colors for the Minnesota National Guard, I field a lot of questions on the proper folding and respect of the Minnesota flag. And if you go out and look on Google, you'll see that we are not the only state who does not have a statute that covers how to fold their state flags. There are, however, several states that do. And our goal here was to let the folks know that there is a way, or is potentially a way, to accurately present our state flag. And that's all this really is to field some questions that we get from the public and from the other military facilities.
Any questions? If not, Representative Kieskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, this makes a lot of sense that there is an official way to hold a state flag, but do we have to put it in a statute? Is there another way to communicate this without encumbering our statute and maybe creating confusion? What if somebody may read it and wonder, well, what are the consequences if I fold it incorrectly? And I realize this is really only for direction for people. Is there another way to communicate this without having to put it in the statute?
Madam Chair and Representative Drazowski, to be honest with you, I don't know. But I can remember sitting home watching the legislature as the debate over the state hot dish and the state muffin went on. And I think if that ends up in statute, at least we can do is put the state flag in statute.
Representative Erdo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Newton. Representative Junkie isn't in the room, but I've got to stand up for the hot dish bill, which is his. this is serious in Scandinavian country. But more seriously, how would people come to learn how to fold the flag? I mean, is this a different technique? I know the Boy Scouts, for example, learn how to fold the American flag correctly. People don't have nearly the exposure to the Minnesota flag that they do to the American flag in public. So where would they learn how to do this?
Madam Chair and Representative Erdahl, that's the purpose of this legislation, is we're going to have a statute that tells them how to fold the flag. And I just might mention, Madam Chair, when I was in the military service, I at one time was the notification officer notifying families when their kids were killed in Vietnam. And one of the things we did after the burial was we would take the flag off the coffin and fold it, the American flag. Things have changed since Vietnam. We didn't have many members of the National Guard or the Reserve serving in Vietnam at the time. The military is upside down. Now we have our Guard going as the first units of deployment, and we have the active army sort of serving as the backup to the Guard. And I think this is terribly important, that if you have a family, and should you have a deceased member who, as a result of their service, and they'd like to have the flag, I think it's only appropriate at graveside that we have people that know how to fold the flag.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, I see the example there, apparently the triangular. Is this the same folding as the American flag? Is that the side of the style the same, or is there any differences? And once again, just having a written law that this is how it's going to be folded only goes so far. I mean, how are you actually going to convey this to, I mean, is it going to be just in schools or Boy Scouts, or what would you do?
Madam Chair, members, Colonel Eric Allness, Department of Military Affairs. When we developed the flag statute, we specifically used Area 1 of the state statute because that's a way that we can convey information to the general public and make sure they become aware of things that are important to the state. There was already information on there on the state flag, and what we did is expand that language to explain how to properly fold the flag. And then what we did to make sure that the folding instructions were clear is we took several people who had never done it before and followed through the instructions, and we tested it several times until we found out that the folding instructions were clear and that when you were done with it, you would have the fold as displayed right here. And then also the other part there too is, and this is for ceremonial and for presentation purposes. For purposes when you're just folding up the flag for storage, or you know, after you take it down at night and want to put it away, in that case we say just fold it as you would the American flag, the national colors. So that way people just have some general guidance. So it's in the area statute that people look to find out that general information. And then in regard to the other question on is there a penalty for not folding that way, no, there is not. This is purely ceremony, presentation, instructing people the proper manner how to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel Olness, I thought I was done, but now you just raised another question. So when you take a flag down at night, are you supposed to do the ceremonial fold every time, or can you just fold it respectfully and neatly some other way?
Madam Chair, members, if you're taking down the evening, you just fold it up as you would the national colors into thirds, and in a respectful manner, as you indicated, that is correct, not the ceremonial way.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Colonel Allness. I actually went to look at the whole list, and I see there is 1.141 about the state flag. So really, you're just adding language to existing statutory language. We could have a more general conversation, I suppose, about, I think Representative Drazkowski talked about the state cupcake or something. But, you know, I appreciate this is already in statute. You're just amending the statute that already exists to prescribe how to fold the flag. I think Representative Erdahl raises a good point, though. Until the statute does become law, certainly we want to communicate to Army, National Guard, Boy Scouts, and the like, and encourage you all to find multiple ways to get this communication out.
Any questions?
Someone sees the other official.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee.
Representative Junkie.
I just go through the list of all the official things. Do you know the state tree?
Oh, yes.
Actually, come visit my office.
Really?
My son was in seventh grade. They painted pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Come on
up.
Let's take a photo up in the whole
world. The state Lake Superior Agriculture.
State entity.
Representative Dunkey.
Should we tell Junkie that his bill was attacked?
We're waiting for you on this one.
Aye. Representative Newton attacked your hot dish bill.
Yeah?
That was
Wait,
hot dish.
Hot dish.
Didn't make it into the
No. The state. Ooh, where is it?
Representative Dodo?
Madam Chair, I move that House File 3508 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
And Mr. Chair, Madam Chair and members, I think someone from the department should be here to explain their bill, I believe, but I'm kind of looking. There he is. My good friend from the department is coming. Limping. Do we know why? Go ahead, just introduce yourself.
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm Reggie Burrell, Senior Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Is there an amendment too? Is that what you're talking? Let's get it to the amendment on first.
Madam Chair, at this time I would offer the amendment. It is coded H3508A1. Members, you have a copy of that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
That's good. All right, then, Madam Chair, I would move the adoption of that amendment.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Madam Chair, committee members, this bill will basically increase the time frame in which a veteran can, of course, get all of his paperwork and documentation ready to present to the department in case of or in the need of a veteran's preference hearing. I want to direct your attention to subdivision 4 hearing. The commissioner shall hold a hearing on the petition of any party within 120 days, increasing that up from 20 days of serving or being served, with the authorized and complete petition. At the hearing, all parties shall have the right to be heard. A hearing hereunder shall be conducted in orders issued in accord with sections 1457 to 1460 and 1462 at the office of the commissioner or at a place the commissioner designates. The commissioner shall notify all parties by certified mail of the date and time and place of the hearing.
Any questions?
So, and again, Madam Chair, a lot of this is kind of technical rewrite here, too, you know, adding telephone numbers, and on the back you see certified mail, and for some reason date wasn't in statute. So some of this is really technical, but the major change there is the number of days that you looked at on the back.
Any more questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Junkie. Just brought to my attention the lines 27 to 29. It appears that the veteran may be losing the right to demand a hearing under this bill. I just want to make sure that the veterans still will have the right to hearings.
Madam Chair, Mr. Representative, that is correct. He will have his right to have a hearing.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess either of you, is there any possibility that extending this period of time is going to create more work for you guys as you hold the possibility of something open that much longer, or don't we see that as a problem?
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, no, sir, we do not see this as a problem. We actually see this as a benefit to us, allowing that veteran to get everything that is necessary to come together, and also gives us the ability to review the information and make sure everything is complete prior to the hearing.
Thank you. Exactly the answer I was hoping that would be here. Madam Chair, if there's nothing else, then I would renew my motion that House File 3508, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would move that House File 3403 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is actually an agency bill, and so I have somebody from the agency here to talk about it. So I'll just turn it over to him. He knows more about it than I do. Keep the honest.
Madam Chair, committee members, Reggie Wells, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This bill will allow for another form of documentation, being the Global War on Terrorism Expedition Medal, to be considered or utilized to receive either the Afghan war or Iraqi war vet plates. Currently, there's only certain medals that were allowed for this plate. This will just be in another form of documentation that they can utilize to receive either one of these plates.
Any questions? If not,
if there are no more questions or comments, Madam Chair, I would renew my motion and House File 3403 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Is the finance where we need to go, or transportation? Or does finance send it to transportation? Okay.
No. Right.
Wanted to check. Thank you.
Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
The bill is passed.
Madam Chair, I move that House File 2567 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, this is about the Gold Star license plate. This is when a family member has died serving in active military service. In 2009, we created the Gold Star license plate, and the eligibility was limited to surviving spouse and parents of deceased service members. I have a family in my district. They've been wanting to get the Gold Star license plate for the siblings, the brothers and sisters. They have reviewed the Gold Star program at the national level, which allows siblings to participate, and they asked me to bring a bill that would expand eligibility to siblings. Members, I agree with Representative Hamilton. This bill would have to go to Ag Finance. I do not have a fiscal note on what this would cost in terms of expanding eligibility and members. If it becomes a fiscal issue, I know that at least my constituents would be willing to pay for the cost. They just want to be eligible to receive the plate in honor of their brother Jacob. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Morrow or Mr. Worlds, either of you, is there any opposition on this from service organizations that may feel that broadening this is not the right direction to go, or does everybody think that it's a good thing to be recognizing the sacrifice? Which way do we have people weighing in on this?
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, we have heard no opposition to this whatsoever. We think it's a great way for family members to be able to recognize their lost one's service and to show their pride for that person.
Thank you. I would agree.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Morrow, I was contacted by a constituent, and would you be willing to work with me a little bit? Because he had a question about a license plate that deals with the Korean conflict. And I'd just like to visit with you between here and Ag Finance, if I could.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I'd be happy to, and to Representative Doty's question, I actually understand that at some of the Gold Star member retreats that are hosted, there is actually some concern among the groups. We were able to get the plate, but we weren't, and this would smooth over some of that concern. And I'd be happy, Representative Hamilton, to talk about expanding this beyond the Gold Star license plate.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions? Yeah. Representative Doty?
Madam Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 2567 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The bill is passed. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I move House File 3497 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. House File 3497 is a agency bill that was brought to me relatively recently, so I appreciate the Chair's indulgence in bringing adding me to the agenda here. And I realize there's been activity in other committees today, but a little bit of history, and as most of you know, I used to work at the Agriculture Department, and I think 3 years ago we had a study on, 3 or 4 years ago, there was actually a study about tree trimming licensing and certification, I remember correctly. I have with me Ms. Cheney to talk about the bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Quinn Cheney, and I'm the Policy Director at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And this bill would basically, it was part of the governor's supplemental budget recommendation as well, and it basically would just create a professional registration to identify those companies with qualifications to treat trees for pests or diseases, and allow those to identify those companies with qualifications to prune, trim, or remove trees from above the ground. And the idea is that the local units of government and private citizens would benefit from this listing because following the EAB outbreaks in the cities, we've had lots of stories of tree care providers that maybe were providing less than high caliber services. And this is just a way, it's a two-prong approach, and it's a way for those tree care companies to stand out, to certify, get themselves certified by the Department of Agriculture.
And I believe there, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Madam Chair, at this time, I offer the amendment that's coded H3497A1. Everyone has a copy of that, I hope.
Any questions?
Aye. Thank you. The amendment was something that the Nursery Landscape Association come to us for to help improve the bill, and so I thank you for that amendment to get the bill in the shape that we would like it in.
Representative Faulks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want a quick, if you would just clarify for me a little bit, I guess. We've got on page 1, subsection 1A, basic registration. This is for, and there's a $25 fee, and then on page 2, professional registration, and we've got a $250 fee. Can you describe real quickly who would fall into each of those two categories, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Faust. The first category would be for all tree care providers. Many of those companies are pesticide applicators that are licensed with the department. Many of them are nursery companies that are also inspected by the department. So the department the Department of Agriculture is a natural fit for this registry to be housed. So that $25 fee would be a mandatory fee. Then the second $250 fee, that would be a voluntary fee. Again, for those companies, I apologize for my sketchy representation of it earlier, but the $250 fee would be for those a voluntary fee for those companies that want to really distinguish themselves and kind of put a good housekeeping seal of approval on their services they provide. It's just a way for them to get a little more continuing education with the department and prove themselves as a little bit better caliber company.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess Ms. Cheney and the Representative Hansen, page 1, line 1.14,
tree trimming companies. Is that just a general term, or could it be an individual in the tree trimming business? If you can explain that for me just a little bit further, please.
My belief is that, yes, that is a general term.
Okay. So it could be any entity.
Yes.
That's in the tree trimming business. Okay.
Any entity that is for hire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. My question was actually answered, but then there is a technical thing. When you took out the or on line 2.15, or took out the 4, I'm sorry, those other sections will need to be renumbered at some point in time. So it's just a technical. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, maybe we could move that technical amendment to renumber accordingly, if someone could do that.
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion to renumber those accordingly after that amendment.
I support the amendment.
Aye.
Are there any other testifiers?
I'm sure I actually have someone who has made a trip in to speak on this. So, Mr. Stennis.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mark Stennis. I'm an arborist and a plant pathologist at S&S Tree Specialist, and we have been one of a group of professionals that have been working with the MDA to try and get this certification, lacking a state license, which is really a can of worms, and we worked on that for quite a while. And I don't know that that's necessary, but I can say that this would be substantially helpful for consumers and cities who want to be able to separate those from who have a power saw and a pickup truck and a ladder. And the original registry was created, I believe, to have a list that the state could send people to when there was a major storm damage. Anybody that cuts trees, here's a list of the people that cut trees. There wasn't any evidence of insurance or workers' compensation or professional credibility or qualifications. And I'm not trying to set up fences. None of us are, really. It's a voluntary consumer protection thing where if a professional tree company can show at least one of the following, well, first there's verification that they got workers' compensation code 0106, which is for working with trees off the ground. Then a list of people who happen to have licensed by the Department of Agriculture as pesticide applicators, because anybody that's going to be treating or managing Dutch elm disease or oak wilt or emerald ash borer, particularly in this case, will of course have to have a certified pesticide license. And then at least one of the following, number three on that list that we may have handed out to you that came from the MNLA, it's a white list, the very bottom, a list of persons who have an associate degree or greater in arboriculture, forestry, or horticulture, or a list of persons who are certified by the International Society of Arboriculture as certified arborists, or as certified landscape professionals by the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, or accreditation by the Tree Care Industry Association, or something similar to that. And it's basically a way to shake out those of us who actually have the wherewithal to deliver technical services, tree health care services, and are willing to pay to be on that list and prove that we're qualified. Basically, that's all that it is. And I don't believe there's any expense to the state. It's self-supported as a program by those of us who voluntarily pay for this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got questions for the testifier as well as Representative, Ms. Cheney as well. I'm curious, Ms. Cheney, what's the motivation for this bill? Where did it come from? Or did I miss that part of your testimony?
Maybe that's what I should have started with, Ms. Madam Chair, Representative. The concept was brought to us by the Nursery Association. And the idea, again, is that it allows those companies to kind of to get this voluntary certification and distinguish themselves from other companies. And really, again, after when the emerald ash borer was found in St. Paul, we're aware of stories of companies that were providing services that maybe were not quite appropriate for treatment of emerald ash borer. So we wanted to offer this voluntary thing. The other, the mandatory part of that registry is, again, for notification to those companies. When something like Emerald Ash Borer comes out, it's really, there's no way of contacting all of the companies that are working with trees and kind of, and letting them know what is happening in the region or across the state with pests like this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, any idea how much revenue is this going to create for the department in an austere budget environment that we have?
Madam Chair, Representative, very little. I believe that it's about $35,000 a year, but that's revenue that would then be spent on creating that registry and the staff to do the certification. So it's really very little.
Could you share with, thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, can you share with us again exactly how are you going to use, there's two separate lists you said. One is kind of a basic list, and you've got kind of a grade A and a grade B group.
Well, there's a basic registration. So what this bill would do is, Madam Chair, is to create a registry, and then and everyone would be part of that registry, and that's what that basic fee is for, that $25 fee. Any other tree care provider who wants to get certified and say that they are MDA certified, as I mean, maybe an advertising feature to provide some comfort to customers, that's a voluntary thing. So those people would still be part of the registry, because the $25 part is mandatory. So that additional level, that 250 fee, is over and above the 25.
Thank
but
you.
Again, that's voluntary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Cheney. I heard the testifier suggest that this isn't a fencing bill. I would take issue with that. Line 2.4 says professional registration is provided to identify those companies with qualifications. So suddenly state government is going to decide who's qualified and who's not to cut trees, and I don't know that those with emerald ash borer that the qualifications to cut those are much different, especially if they're going to die anyway. The other question I had, or observation maybe, the bill was introduced, it appears, on March 8th. Representative Hansen, is that correct? Was just introduced 2 days ago?
Madam Chair and Representative Druskowski, that's when I received it, I believe, Friday, and got it into the hopper, and so it was introduced on Monday, but it was part of the governor's budget. It was provided to me by the agency as a separate bill. Maybe Ms. Cheney can help explain why, but that's what it was introduced on as a separate bill on Monday.
Madam Chairman, Representative Zosky, it's not technically a certification. I've been kind of deep frying in Emerald Ash Borer now for the last 18 months. And certification and licensure issues and things like that. It's not a certification as much as professional registry. And it's not that we're suggesting, or anybody's suggesting, that anybody that can cut can't take out infested ash trees. But you see, I'm a pathologist and a board-certified master arborist, and there are extremely effective treatments, provided you manage them as part of a management program, which includes identifying the trees that are worth saving as opposed to those that are not. It's a management plan sort of thing that we're going to have to be dealing with, and it doesn't matter if we like it or not, this problem is going to be expensive. And the idea here is to try and do something to help consumers get something that they can rely on for their money, so that those of us that are willing to pay the extra $250 also have to show that we've got this extra level of expertise, and anybody can do it. There isn't any reason why you can't do it, but if you don't know something about the biology of this insect or the Jones disease or whatever it happens to be treating, it can make a difference in your level of success and what the consumers get for their money.
Madam Chair, Representative Druskowski, what I want to emphasize is that Subdivision 1B, that additional sort of registration, that additional piece is voluntary. The basic registration is just so that we can have that the department can keep track of the name, maybe an email address, contact information for companies. So when we find Emerald Ash Borer in St. Paul or in Minneapolis or wherever it is in the state that we find it, that we can alert those companies out there that are in close contact with trees and know how to dispose of the trees, handle the branches that they're cutting down. That's the basic, it's just the basic part of the registration is really just a messaging service.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank each of you for sharing what you just shared. But I still see this as we are creating a separate group of people who, and inherent in there is a fencing provision, in that they are suddenly recognized as a group that is a better group to go to, and the government is being the referee. I don't believe that is government's role. We got this bill. It was introduced 2 days ago. I've got a friend who's 71 years old, and, sir, he probably hasn't had... I know he graduated from school in the ninth grade, and he's cutting trees today. And he cut trees yesterday and the day before that. And he's very well learned in a lot of these areas. He has none of these degrees. But he would qualify for each of... he would qualify to handle these trees, I bet, as well as you would. But apparently he doesn't fit under line three. I struggle with government becoming involved in this. I don't know that if it's even necessary. And I also struggle with the fact that the average person out there who is dealing with trees hasn't had a chance to even see this bill yet, not to mention even at the right opportunity to come and testify today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Either to Representative Hansen or Ms. Cheney, what's the timeline for implementation of this? Would this registration begin at the end of this year, or would it be immediately available upon passage of this legislation? I didn't find an effective date in the bill, so that's the reason for my question.
Madam Chair, Representative Szymanski, you may be right that we didn't include an effective date in here, so it would be effective immediately upon registration, upon passage. Oh, I guess it would be effective when the fiscal year begins.
In the absence of an effective date, I believe it becomes effective on August 1st.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first to the testifier, is it right that the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, they do support the fees that are outlined in this bill? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That they promote that? And my second question, Madam Chair, is Ms. Cheney, even with the changes that were made in the ag finance, is this still relevant to bring it to the Ag Committee, to have this bill heard in the Ag Committee with the changes that were made today in Ag Finance?
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, I believe it is. It is still relevant because the Department of Agriculture is the department where pesticide applicators are licensed, so anybody who provides treatment on any of these trees. It's the department where the nursery inspectors are. We are the ones that deal with nursery inspections, so I believe that having this registry, we already have those sorts of programs at the department, and it fits in well with those other services that we're providing. I don't think that that the invasive species, the elimination of the invasive species program that was done in the Ag Finance division today, I think would be above and beyond than what this would do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, I had folks in my office within the last couple of weeks talking about this bill, so they must have heard about it somewhere. Do you have an idea where they may have heard about it?
Madam Chair, Representative Morrow, this was part of the governor's budget that was announced back in early February. And while I don't know that a budget bill was actually introduced, it was in all of the budget materials that have been posted on MMB's website. And we've had a fact sheet on the Department of Agriculture's website as well.
Right, and thank you. And Madam Chair, just to continue, I believe one of them actually handed me the fact sheet about 2 weeks ago to talk to me about this bill. You've been, Ms. Cheney, there's already a list being maintained right now, isn't there? So.
Yes, Madam Chair.
And what this would do is not create a new list, but it's just in, at least in Part A here, expanding what the list would do and also charging a fee to be on that list, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Morrow, yes, that's correct. It also helps us to ensure that it's a complete list.
Madam Chair, if I may continue, I have to imagine that there were costs being expended in the past to maintain this list, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Morrow, that's correct.
So now we're asking for the folks who are on the list to help defray some of the cost of the list.
Madam Chair, Representative Morrow, that's correct.
I know back in 1988, Madam Chair, when we had a tornado in St. Peter, it was awfully nice to have a complete list of tree trimmers in the state because we had tree trimmers from all over coming. In fact, I had two guys from Iowa because I couldn't find anyone in Minnesota right away to do this. So I know that at least in the case of natural disaster, it's nice to know that the state has a list that I can call upon right away. So I'm appreciative that this list existed 12 years ago and that you're seeking to improve the list. I have to say I may disagree a little bit with Representative Drazkowski because I don't think you're requiring the professional registration. The folks who were doing business, including the ones who were in my office, said, if I want to do it, I'll do it. If I don't, I don't. And he kind of left it at that. So I thank you for bringing the bill. And like I say, there have been folks in my office who've known about this bill for a while now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm still a little confused about the voluntary parts of this, which parts are voluntary and which aren't. And I'm specifically looking at on page 2, 2.34 and 2.35. And as I read that, it seems to me that, like, if I went over to Grandma's house and trimmed that branch that's in her antenna because she won't go and get a dish, and that I might be in violation of state law here, and that would kind of worry me some. So I'd like a little expansion on who this would actually apply to in that section.
Madam Chair, Representative Doty, I think your concerns are if you have someone who's doing that work, and this applies to other provisions that I used to deal with all the time. If I do work for you but I don't charge you, you're not doing it for hire. And so the registry is for those that are doing it for hire. So they're in the business of doing it. If you're a good Samaritan that is going and helping cutting down a tree or helping after your neighbor after that, and you're not doing it for hire, you're okay. And I don't know if cookies and milk would count for hire. I think it's the exchange, the transaction, a business transaction is for hire rather than chocolate chip cookies.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
Madam Chair, I'm afraid after this year it will be considered. Cookies and milks will probably be taxed as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last question, and thank you for your patience. Line 1.14 says tree care or tree trimming companies must register annually by providing the following to the commissioner. It says must register annually. What I mean, I thought they could be part of this list without. I mean, if they happen not to miss a year. And if they don't register, what does that mean to those that don't register? I guess was part of my question.
Madam Chair, Representative, again, I would go back to the words on line 1.12 for hire. If the registry does exist, it's not very complete right now. This whole purpose of this is to make it mandatory so that we can have a very complete list of the tree care providers in the state. That $25 fee, again, would apply to those tree care providers who are hiring out their services, and there would be a penalty for those who don't, who violate that. That's where that subdivision 3 on line 2.34 comes in.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Cheney, I'm still not clear. So if there's a business out there or the weekend, Representative Morrow has another tornado or I have one, or Representative Erdahl, has a tornado in his district, and I want to load up my pickup truck and throw my steel chainsaw in the back and go over there, and I'm not on the registry. What does that mean?
Madam Chair, Representative Druskowski, if you're charging a fee for those services, then you would need to be on this registry, and you would be in violation if you are not on the registry. But if you're going, as we've said, for chocolate chip cookies as your compensation for providing that service, then you would be not in violation.
Wow. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion that House File 3497, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
All those are
made. Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Thank you.